Amen. Today, how many are ready for a miracle in your life? Amen. Today, we're picking back up in our series that we started last week, brand new series that we call Do You Have Power? Do You Have Power? Somebody texted me this morning and said, Pastor, do we have power? And I thought they were talking about the sermon. They actually didn't have power at their house. And so for that person, no. Don't you hate it when you wake up and you don't have power on a Sunday morning and you're trying to get ready to come to church and you can't get that current iron working, ladies? And you know there's only so much hot water in the hot water tank, and so you rush to get there before your kids do. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You can just use wet wipes or take a cold shower or something. But we hate it when we don't have power. And, you know, it's such a tragedy that in our own walk as Christians that many times we live our life without power and the fullness of power, that we're walking around without our power plugged in. Isn't that crazy? We walk around without our power plugged in. We're not tapped into the power and the fullness of what God has for us. And I just tell you this in advance. If you missed last week because of snow or because of sickness, I understand that. But I say you missed a great service and a great sermon. Okay, I just say you missed a good sermon. And you need to go online. And thank you for the few amens. We had a few people here last week. So I challenge you, if you missed that sermon, go online to mydestinychurch.com. You can get those sermons downloaded for free there. Download that, listen to it. We talked about last week, does God need me? Last week we talked about, does God need me? And we answered that question, does God need me? And I believe today that God is wanting us so much, and he's needing us so much. How many know that God's design for our life is that he partner with us here on this earth? Do you realize that? That is God's design for you and I, that he wants to partner with you and I here on this earth. And does God need me? He doesn't need me, but he chose to need me. There's a difference. God doesn't need me. God doesn't want for anything. Scripture teaches that God doesn't need or want for anything. But Scripture also teaches that he chooses to need us by his own purpose, by his own decision. He chooses to need us. And in that, we know this, that God decided to need us and that he chose us. And to do this, knowing why did he do this, because today God never moves unless we move. Do you realize that? Look in Scripture and see, when does God move without somebody else moving first? Does God have the power to move in our life ahead of time? Yes, he does. But because of design and in theory, he will not move unless we move. And many times we're walking around saying, when's God going to help me in my finances? When's God going to help me in my marriage? When's God going to help me get a better job? Why doesn't God help me this? We're always waiting around. When's God going to help me? When's God going to help me? And God's up here going, when are you going to do something to release me to do what I want to do in your life? I've got all this power that I'm wanting to release into your life, the power to live life to the fullest, the power to be the witness through this Holy Spirit, the power to operate in the supernatural. You know what I'm talking about. The power to operate, we take our natural and put it in his super, it becomes supernatural. And today we know that God is wanting to do that in our life, but he's waiting for you and I to act in faith. I challenge you to look at Scripture and find out, where in Scripture did God ever do something great unless somebody else moved his heart? Somebody else prayed. Somebody else acted in faith. When did David step up to defeat a giant? He stepped up in faith. There was somebody moved up and said, I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to put my faith in the Lord. I'm going to cry out to God. Scripture says this, that what? We read this last week. That Scripture says this, that they are healed and then we lay hands on the sick, right? No, it says we lay hands on the sick and then what? They are healed. That's God's part. It's my part. I got to do my part first. It says what we loose on earth is what? Loosed in heaven. What we bind on earth is what? It's bound in heaven. It's according to what I do that releases God to do what he wants to do in our life. Could God do it without me? Yes, he could, but he chooses not to. He wants to do it with us and through us. And so it's up to you and I to tap into the power of God and realize that God wants me. That God needs me, that he needs me very much. And today we're going to talk about this as we continue to lay the foundation for this series and answer this question, does God want me? If God's going to need me, does he truly want me? And this really ties into the whole thing that's been like God's been doing through the last 6 or 7 weeks as he's talking about our relationship with the Father and learning to trust him, learning to go back to the future so we can go forward. We're getting dealing with our past and going forward. And the same kind of theme today, does God really want me? And when some of us have a hard time comprehending that statement, does God really want me? Because in your life, you've been rejected by either a spouse or in a relationship or by a parent or someone close to you has done something that really rejected you. And so we have a hard time understanding, does God really want me? You talk about walking in power. I don't think God even likes me. Some of you have that mentality already. I don't think God even likes me, to be honest with you. I just think that he's kind of just letting me get by on the skirt tails here, but God really doesn't like me. And does God really want to use me? I don't think so. And when we established last week, yes, God wants to use you. He wants to work with you. He wants to partner with you. And today I'm going to prove to you that God not only wants to partner with you, but he wants you. He needs you. Does God want me? Yes, he does. How do we know this? Number one, he created you in his image. Plain and simple. God created you and I in his image. Why? Because he wanted us. Look what Genesis 1, 26 and 27 says. Then God said, let us make man. Talking to, who is he talking to, I wonder? Who we say, who's us? We just had this series a couple months ago. What? God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So he's talking to the Holy Spirit. He's talking to the Son. He said, hey, let us make man in our image. According to what? Our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. Even over all the creeps. Can you believe that? Okay. So God created man in his what? Own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. God created us in his image. Why is this important? Because you realize nothing else was ever created in God's image. Think about that. Were the trees created in God's image? Were the mountains created in God's image? Were the fish of the sea created in God's image? Were the beasts of the fields created in God's image? Was the blue sky created in God's image? No. Where in Scripture does it teach us the only thing that was ever created in the image of God was you and I? That's how much he values you and I. Right there, it tells us right away that he has a value system that he's wanting to instill in you and I, that he curated you and I to be like him. He created you and I to be formed in his image. So why? So he could have that relationship with us. He doesn't want to have a relationship as much as you love your dog. I know you think that. All dogs go to heaven. We know that story, okay? But he created you and I to have that relationship with him. We were the only ones created in his image. I think cats are created in the image of Satan, but I'm not sure about that anyway. We'll just talk about that later. That's another story. Just teasing. As long as they're at your house, I don't care. Okay, all right. Nothing else was ever created in his image but us. He said, let's create God in our own image. Look at that. In case we didn't get it, he wants to make it very clear. I've underlined that. Let's make man in our image according to whose? Our likeness. So God created man in his own image and in the image of God. Just in case we don't get it here, he's kind of showing us something here that we are special. That's what he's saying to you and I. I love you. You're special. I made you in my image. Nothing else was created in the image of God. Now, all things were created by him, but you and I were the only thing. You know, realize this, that even angels were not created in his image. Angels were not created in his image. You and I were the ones created in his image. I don't tell you that God loves you. I don't know what does. God loves you and I. Look what Genesis 2, 20 through 23 says. And God was telling Adam to go name the beasts of the field. So this is what happens. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. Then the rib which was the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Okay, Adam is getting excited right here. But look at this. This scripture always kind of just gets me here. And maybe if you catch it here, maybe some of you didn't. So Adam gave the names of the cattle. God's calling all the beasts of the fields. He's calling every living creature to come unto Adam. And Adam is having dominion over them. And Adam is naming them. Look what it says while he's naming them. It says that, and every beast of the field. But this word but always kind of gets me here. Okay, this word but. But what? But Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. First of all, I don't know, but Adam's like, all right, God, I'm kind of lonely. And God's like, all right, here's the beast of the field. What's he going to look around? Well, God, this lion really is not that attractive to me. The hippopotamus, I think I can live without. You know, he's just not finding anybody who has a soul, mind, a spirit. He's not finding anybody that he can relate to. So Adam's very lonely. I mean, think about it. Adam's got all these things, all this responsibility. He doesn't even know he's lonely, but he's lonely. Only the lonely. Come on, you don't talk about it. He's lonely, man. He's lonely. He doesn't even know he's lonely. I mean, we haven't even thought of the word lonely yet. He doesn't even miss anybody because there's nobody to miss. But Adam's lonely. Adam wants somebody to be a companion with. And Adam's like, well, God, I can't find anybody among the creatures of the field. And God's like, oh, you're right. So I'll tell you what, you go to sleep, and I'll take care of this problem. And it says he took Eve and he made her out of the rib of man. And Adam's like, whoa, yeah, God. Now this is bone of my bones, and she is flesh of my flesh. I mean, Adam gets excited. He didn't say this about the beast of the field, does he? He gets excited. Why? Because Eve was created in what? Adam's image. And so if we are created in God's image, some of you don't get this morning. Think about it. If we are created in God's image, how do you think God looks at you and I? He doesn't look at us like he looks at everybody else. When he looks at you and I, he's like, yeah. Yeah, finally, somebody I can relate to. God wanted to relate to you and I. God wanted to be a God for you and I. He longed to have a relationship with you and I. It was said from the very beginning of time, if we are made in his image, and the very perfect creator before sin ever entered the earth, Adam, the first man, he was lonely. He wanted fellowship. And so God was not able to give him fellowship unless he made somebody else in his own image. Some of you are getting this morning. Think about it. That God is wanting that in us. That's why we were created in his image, was to have fellowship with the Lord. And I like this word here. If you look at this word made, it was used twice. When God made Adam and then he made Eve. This, if you go back and study this, it actually is used in two different types of meaning. When he talks about the word made for Adam, it means that God actually squeezed. And so we're told that God actually took dirt and he squeezed the dirt and he breathed life into the dirt and Adam was formed, man was formed. But the place where we see this word made for Eve, it's a little more complicated than that. The word made actually comes to the term, it means here is being used, the same word is used for the word fashionable. So some of you ladies who shop all day, I think you know what you're getting. You like fashion? God made you that way because God made you fashionably. And when you find that out and go to study, it actually means that God just took a lot more time on you. And I, for one, am very grateful, okay? That's not a bad thing. That's a great thing. What's a good thing? He took a lot more time. He fashioned you. He made us. He just squeezed us guys out of the dirt, and there we are, you know. But the women, he said, nah, I'm going to fashion these girls, okay? He fashioned us. He fashioned us. We are created in his image. He longs to have that companionship with us. If Adam wanted companionship, how much more does God also want companionship in you and I? We see it there. It's made to us very clear. Number two, we see that he redeemed you with his blood. How do we know that God wants me? How do I know that God wants me? First of all, we know he redeemed us with his blood. Redeem means bought back. He bought us back. And he redeemed it. He bought that thing back. You ever heard the word redeemed? I was thinking this word, and I went back, and I remember this as a kid. How many remember those green stamps that used to come out of the grocery store when you was a kid? Remember those things? My parents, we used to get those from the grocery store, and we put them in drawers and sacks everywhere, and then I'd have a job about once a year, and I'd lick those things, you know, and put them in those big books. And you remember looking at those, you know, finally we got smart. A sponge, yeah. Well, not think of that. I've been looking at these things for 3 days, okay? You know, and I got some of you guys, how many remember those stamps? You're all the ones with brain damage from licking that glue. You know what I'm talking about, okay? We're licking those things. What would happen was if you stopped at a certain store that you would get these green stamps, and these green stamps you could then take them to, what was the name of the store you could take them to? Remember the H&H Redemption Center. That's what it was called, H&H Redemption Center. You had to have like a million books to go in, and you get like a lamp. You know, I worked 5 days looking at stamps, so we got a new lamp, yeah. What kind of talk are you? You know, but anyway, you know, we would do this. It's crazy. We redeem these stamps and go in and get a new lamp out of the store. It was called a redemption center because it was something we bought with it. The word redemption means something that is bought back, that we redeem it back. God redeemed you and I with his blood. He bought us back. Could have God redeemed us another way? No. He could have forgave you, but not redeemed us. It's a difference. God was what? God was forgiving us. That's why we had sacrifices happening. In the Old Testament, they had sacrifices of the lamb. I mean, we talked about that here before, how they had to offer the sacrifices up. That was offering what? That was a type of forgiveness that God was forgiving us, but we were not redeemed. until the Lamb of God was slain. We were not redeemed, but he redeemed us with his own blood. Look what Hebrews 9:12 says. Not with the blood of goats or calves, but with what? His own blood. This is big. Okay, he didn't want to just use a lamb or cattle or calves. He used what? His own son, his own blood. His own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. That God redeemed you and I with his own blood. Let me ask you this question. Did God know when he created man that we would sin? You ever thought about that question? Did God know when he created man that we would sin? If he is all-knowing, which we studied and we know that, he's all-knowing, then yes, God knew in advance that when he created us that we would sin. And the question is this. He knew what it would take to redeem our sin. He knew it was going to take his own blood. He knew it was going to take his own son. He knew what was going to at stake here. And to think about this, that in spite of all that knowing ahead of time, he still created you and I. He still created you and I, knowing in advance that he was going to have to redeem us with his blood. In advance, he still created you and I. If that doesn't tell you that God loves you, if that doesn't scream to you that God wants you, nothing will ever tell you that and convince you. Because God knew in advance that we were going to need his blood. He knew in advance that his son was going to have to die. He knew in advance that we would need to be redeemed. And in spite of it all, he still chose to create us in his image. I screamed out, God, you loved me. You didn't back out. You didn't choose a different plan, but God, you went ahead with your plan because you wanted that with you and I. He wanted to be with us. He wanted us. You know, we have this thing that happens in childhood. It's called pick your team at recess. Remember that? Remember picking your team at recess now? And for those of you who are not very good athletes, you hated this time because, you know, if you were not the best person at kickball, you're not going to get chosen to the very last. And you know, and some of you say, Pastor, you probably don't know that because you're such a great athlete. I know what you're talking about, okay? I know. Just playing around. But what I'm saying is this. When I was younger, what you don't know is I went to a private school, private Christian school. We had about 100 kids in it. And so we were all thrown together from elementary all the way to high school. We were together. And so even though I might have been a good athlete for my age, you know, you put a fifth grader out there playing with someone in high school, it's not a very good match. And so we'd be out there ready to play these games at recess or lunch. You know, everybody's waiting to get picked. You know, and of course, my kids my age are out playing in the playground, but no, I'm going to be out there playing with the big boys, so I'm out there waiting to be picked, you know. I'm like, come on, just pick me. And it comes down to the last two, they're like, all right. The two captains are like, all right, comes down to the last two, and they think about it, and they look at you, they look at the other person, they look at you, they look at the other person. All right, we'll take Jean, you can have the girl, okay? That's what can happen, okay? We just do this. They're like, you know, finally, you know that feeling. You know what I'm talking about. You know that feeling. How many are glad that God didn't look at us? And that's not how he picked you and I. That's not the attitude he picked you and I with. He picked us because he wanted us. He picked us first. In spite of knowing that we were going to fail him, despite knowing that he's going to have to redeem us, he went ahead and created us anyway. That shouts to you and I that how much he loves us. That shouts to you on how much he wants to partner with you and I. That he knew in advance, and yet he chose anyway to create us and to follow through. We were not chosen last. We were not just a leftover choice for God, but we were first on his mind. God values you. Are you understanding that today? God values you, and he understands, and he wants to have this incredible relationship with you and I. And number three, he perfected you by his grace. Wow, he perfected you by his grace. Today we know that we're redeemed through the blood, but we're perfected by his grace. Let me ask you this question. Is God perfect? Is God perfect? Yes, we know through studying Scripture, God is perfect. That there's none perfect but God. God is made perfect. So then if God could have a relationship with us, are we perfect? Anybody here perfect? You're not now because you just lied. Okay, what are you talking about? None of us are perfect. He created us in his image, and he's perfect. How can a perfect God have a relationship with the imperfect people? You ever thought about that? I mean, really think about it. How could God really have that covenant relationship with us if we're not perfect and He is? God had to do something to perfect us. God had to do something to bring us back on a level that He could communicate with us. He had to do something to value, to make us at the same level where He could be one with us, so He could have that relationship with us, because we're marred. We are unperfect people. And He's a perfect God. He's a holy God who demands perfection. So how could He have that relationship with you and I if He knows that you and I are unperfect? Because He perfected us by His grace. He created us in His image. But what? We sin. We're created in His perfect image, but we sin, bringing our bodies unperfect. He redeemed us by His blood, but we still sin. Think about that. He redeems us by His blood, but what happens? We still have sin at times in our life. But He perfects us. That was a good ring, wasn't it? He perfects us by His grace. Look at Hebrews 12:23. I want to show you a scripture. I think it's going to really blow you away today. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered into heaven. He's talking about those who are in heaven now. To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. He's speaking to those who have gone on to heaven. He's saying this. He's speaking to you and I that our spirits are made what? Perfect. He didn't say to those who were perfect on earth. He didn't say to those who walk a perfect life. He said to those whose spirits of just men made perfect. Now I want you to grasp this, because God perfects our spirit by grace. My body is what? It's marred. It's redeemed by what? His blood. But yet I still have a sinful nature, and I have to continue to overcome that sinful nature and ask God to forgive me my sins and to repent and walk in this grace that He's given to me so graciously. I have this relationship with God. But He perfects me by His grace. He perfects me by, Scripture says, He perfected my spirit. My spirit is made perfect. Why is this? Because my body is not perfect. My soul is not perfect. That's my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, my thoughts, my attitudes. Those things are not perfect. But my spirit is made perfect by grace. Realizing that. That God has made my spirit perfect. He hasn't made my body perfect. I know it's hard to believe. But God hasn't made my body perfect. But He's made my spirit perfect. My spirit perfected in Him through grace. And so what's the conclusion of this? Knowing this, that so my spirit is perfect by grace. My soul is what? My soul, which means what? My mind, my will, my emotions. It's being perfected on earth. Being perfected means maturing. I'm maturing in the walk of faith. I'm maturing in His righteousness. I'm maturing in my walk of faith. So on earth, I'm being perfected through a continual growth. I'm not struggling with the same things I used to struggle with. I'm growing. I still have a sin nature that I'm continually to fight with, but I'm growing in God. I'm maturing. I'm maturing. So my spirit is perfect. My spirit is perfect. What else? My will, my mind, my emotions, my body is not perfect. But you know what? When I get to heaven, I'm going to have a perfect body. So let's say it again. I want you to comprehend what's going on. My soul is what? My soul right now is being perfected. My body is not perfect. How many know some people don't have perfect bodies? Don't look at your neighbor now. Come on. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, we know people who have missing limbs, people who are bound to wheelchairs, people who have things going on, sickness, disease. Scripture teaches us that when they get to heaven, they're going to have perfect bodies. That those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, those who confess His Son as Lord, that when we get to heaven, we're going to have perfected bodies. So when I get to heaven, my body's going to be perfected. Here on earth, I'm being perfected through maturing. But my soul is being perfected now. But my spirit now is made perfect. That's how you and I can have this one-on-one relationship with God. The perfect God is because in my spirit, in my position, not because of anything I've earned, not because of anything I've done to deserve it, but because of His grace. He's perfected my spirit. And my spirit, it can connect with the Holy Spirit. My spirit can connect with His spirit. My spirit can connect with the Almighty God who created me in His image. Because my spirit has been made perfect. Isn't that an awesome thing today to think about? Some of you already set some New Year's resolutions already. You got some things you want to do. I want to get better at this, get better at that. But one thing you can check off your list right now, if you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that your spirit has been made perfect. Wow. So that's one area you can check off. The rest of it we got to work on, okay? It's a walk of grace. It's a continual walk. I should be maturing. I should be stronger in my faith this year than I was last year. It's a walk of maturity in my soul. But he perfected you and I by his grace. When does grace not work in our life? You ever thought about that question? When does grace not work in our life? Is grace for all people? Is grace for all people? Yes, grace is for all, but there's one way, there's only one way that grace cannot work in someone's life. You know what that is? When it's not received. Think about that. Grace cannot work when it's not received. In order for grace to work in our life, it's got to be received. And I want you to think back of a story we've talked about a lot around here of the prodigal son. And think about when the prodigal son had went out and just really blown everything his father had taught him, blew all the money, his inheritance, on drugs and addiction and women, and he came back to repent to his father to ask if he could become a servant and just work at his dad's house because he just needed somewhere to be that he could live. And Scripture teaches us what happened when he came home. The father what? We talked about this. Remember? The father ran to him. The father ran to him, wrapped his arms around him. Remember that story? We talked about it very much around here. Think about it. Did the father ever ask, where you been? What happened to the money? Where's the inheritance I gave you? Did the father ever ask him, how many other stupid mistakes did you make? Did you know? I mean, he said, no, my son has returned home. My son's here. Yes. He embraced him, rewarded him. By his grace, he perfected him back into the position that he walked away from. Today, grace can only be not effective in our life if we don't receive it. God died for the sins of all mankind. But not all mankind is going to accept his grace. And therefore, grace won't be effective in their life. You've got to accept his grace. You've got to confess that he is Lord and know that he has given you his grace. Repent of our sins and ask him to forgive us and to walk in that grace. We must receive that grace. He wants you and I to walk in that fellowship with him, that grace. Today, God's got some powerful things he wants to do in our life. He's got some powerful things he wants to do in your life. But we've got to realize that God not only needs me because he chose to need me, but he wants me. He wants to team up with me. He wants to give me his power. See, if we can't get past this mentally thinking that, all right, that power thing is good, but it's not for me because God really doesn't like me. I'm always the last one chosen. No one ever picks me to be on their team. I've been rejected here. I've been abandoned here. I've been left here. And so we get this mentality that, you know what, I'm not really good enough. I'm not really worthy. No one, God really does, he's not going to be there. He doesn't really want me that much. And so we get past that mentality and realize not only does God need me, but he wants me and he chose me. And we proved it today that he loved you so much that in spite of everything, he chose to follow through his plan. Because he chose to have a relationship with you and I. Why? Because he wants to work his power through your life. He wants to give you a power in your life that you've never operated in before. He wants to give you a supernatural power of his Holy Spirit. He wants to give you a power in your life that you and I haven't only can even imagine what God wants to do if we'll apply and allow his Spirit to work alive in our life. But that comes when we say, God, all right, you not only chose me, and I choose you, but you want to partner with me. And God, not only do you want to partner with me, you love me. You picked me first. He picked me first. Before I picked him, he picked me. Let's say, that's good for somebody who needed it. Before I picked him, he picked me. And he wants you on his team. Every one of us here, we were picked first. There's no last person picked here today. There's nobody's the consolation prize around here. Nobody's going to be asked to be the team mascot, okay? We're all picked first to be on God's team because he wants us on his team and he wants to work through our life. Let's bow our heads today. Today, with our heads bowed, I just want to ask you this question. You say, Pastor Gene, you're talking about God picking us, and I realize right now today that I just need, first of all, before I go any further, I need Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. I realize today that He chose me, and I need to choose Him. And maybe you're here today and you say, I've never prayed this prayer and asked God to forgive me of my sins. And today, I want to accept Him as my Lord and Savior. Or maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've prayed that prayer before, but I've been so far away from God. I haven't been living for Him. I've turned my back on Him. Today, I want to come back and renew my relationship with Jesus Christ. No one's looking around today, and I would not embarrass you one bit at all. But I want to give you a chance today. If you say, Pastor, that's me, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to have a perfected soul, spirit, and when I get to heaven, even a perfected body. And today, I want to know that heaven's my home, and I want to enter into this relationship you're talking about with our Creator. If that's you today, can you say, Pastor, it's me. I want to make this decision today. Thank you. Anybody else today, say, that's me, Pastor. I want to make this decision. You want to join this person today? Thank you. Anybody else, you want to join these two today? Say, Pastor, I'm ready to make this decision today. God chose me, and today I'm ready to choose Him. Anybody else today, you want to join them today? We had a few people who raised their hands this morning, so let's all say this prayer together. Can we say it together? Especially those who raised your hands today, I want you to really pray this from your heart. Let's say this together. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Be Lord of my life. I give you everything I am. I give it to you. I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness. I believe you are the Savior of the world. And from this day on, I choose to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Those of you who prayed that prayer for the first time, we say welcome to the family of God. Let's give them a hand clap. Yeah, we're excited. Amen. Before you leave today, in the very back, we've got a special packet for you, a free gift. It's got a free Bible and some other material in there to tell you what to do next, some things you need to do about plugging in to God's family. So make sure you stop in the back and get one of those free gifts before you leave today. Can we all stand up today? How many want to tap into God's power in your life? Are you ready to tap into God's power? I believe that this year that God's going to flow in new power in your life. It's time for us to plug in, man. Let's plug into what God is doing. Last week I made this statement. Listen to me. Last week I made a statement that all my life I heard the statement that, you know, we just need a move of God. We need a move of God. We need a move of God. And I believe that 100%. We need a move of God. But I believe today we're on earth saying we need a move of God. I believe God's in heaven saying, how about a move of people? God's saying, I want to move a people. Because if the people will move, then I can move. That's what He's wanting. He's wanting you and I to move so He can move in our lives. He's wanting you and I to plug it in, man, and to get tapped into His power so He can flow it through us and to us and use us. And today we're establishing, why would He do that? Because He needs us, because He chose to, and He wants us. He wanted us so bad that He created us in spite of our imperfections. And He perfected our spirits today through His grace. And He chose me, and He loves me that much. He won't abandon me. Scripture says He will never leave me nor forsake me. That's our promise of our God. That's our Savior. So when you put your faith in Him and you sell out to Him, He's not going to walk out on you 2 years from now. Man will let you down. It's going to happen. Eventually we fail. We're flawed. But God says, I will never leave you. I will never fail you. Today, I just invite you to sell out today. Give God everything you can give Him. And say, God, you wanted me, you chose me, and in return, I choose to receive everything you have for me back, and I'm going to live for you in a way I never have. Can we just lift our hands in the closing today, making that surrender to God? God, today, we surrender our lives to you. God, we surrender and say, Holy Spirit, we want all of the power that you have for us. We want everything that you have for us in our life. And today, God, we thank you with our hands lifted up. We just thank you right now, God, in spite of knowing what it's going to cost you, you still created us. In spite of knowing that it was still going to cost us your Son, you still created us. In spite of knowing that we were going to be letting you down, you still created us because you loved us that much. And you created us in your own image. And you perfected our spirits and made us perfect in our spirits through the power of your Holy Spirit today, God, through the grace that you are. God, we thank you today. We lift our hands up saying thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you made us a way for us to have a relationship with you, and you made the path possible that we can walk on. God, we thank you today, God. We're walking out here knowing that we're perfected in our spirits, and you chose us, and you wanted us, and you need us. What an empowering thing. What a confidence booster it is to me. What it is to my confidence of knowing, God, you want me, depend upon me, and need me. And God, I'm not going to let you down. God, you can use me. That's my prayer today. God, you can use me for your power. God, you can use me as a willing vessel. Any way you choose, God, use me. Use my hands, my feet, my mouth. Anything I have, God, that belongs to you, to use to your fullest potential that you want to use it, God. It's yours. My faith is in you. My trust is in you. And we say together, amen? Amen. God bless you today. Thank you so much for being here today. Hug a neck or shake a few hands before you leave today. Tell someone it was good to be with you in church. God bless you today. We'll see you Wednesday night at 7 o'clock.